Okay, it's amazing. I have to. I actually will start off by thanking Steve, although it's many, many years ago. I remember years ago trying to borrow this book, and I borrowed it from the Spielmans, who like are long out of West Hempstead. Like it's been a bit, and then I was doing like a little research, and I don't know, somehow Steve was like, "Yeah, I work with Dr. Meyer," and got me a copy. So my book is tattered, at least on the outside. The inside, you know, is fine. But we've almost done this entire Sefer, which is like pretty wild. But we never did Achremos. So I don't know. I guess we'll do it this week. There is something actually like that I think is pretty cool, because if we were in the main shul, that wasn't part of the Young Israel when Rabbi Kanatopsky was the Rav here. But like we're on the right, we are on the old side of the building. So like
you're inside the main sanctuary right now.
Of the old shul.
Big room. This was
the ceiling?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So Rabbi, that's like very weird. Rabbi Kanatopsky would have been right below us giving this drasha. So maybe it was given in West Hempstead, who knows, but there's anyway something in my, there's a special place in my heart when I share his Torah in West Hempstead. So I hope that when it's over, this comes out well, because this came together very early this morning. So we're going to take a look at five psukim tonight. And they're not necessarily exciting psukim, but I think they're good questions on these psukim that we kind of have to try to unpack a little bit. And maybe if we do, we could have a slightly better appreciation of this parsha, as it's the introduction, even though it's an Achremos, it's very much the introduction to all of Achremos Kedoshim. We know that like Vayikra Tzavar Korbanos, Shmini is like the transitional parsha where we do like the Chanukah Samishkan, and then we enter into Kashrus. Tazuya Metzora are, you know, the parsha of Tzaras. So it's like a completely different like avenue. And then we come to after the beginning of Achremos, when we do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, there's a lot of mitzvos that take us from mid-Achremos all the way till the end of Bechukosai. And so I think that this particular group of psukim are really the introduction to all that. So with that, there are a couple good questions that I think come out when we read them. So Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, God speaks to Moshe saying, Daber al bnei Yisrael l'maarat aleihem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So he says, I want you to talk to the Jews and say to them, I am the Lord your God. So the words ani Hashem Elokeichem are not like uncommon. We have them a lot, or Ani Hashem, in Vayikra, right? Often we have that. Lifnei iver lo titein mechshol v'yareitam elokecha, v'yareitam elokecha, Ani Hashem. V'yafta l'recha kamocha, Ani Hashem. But what's unique about this one is usually Ani Hashem comes at the end, right? So like here would be a perfect example. Lifnei iver lo titein mechshol, right? Can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. You have to fear God, Ani Hashem. Why does God put his name at the end of that one? Right? It's like God's signature at the end of that pasuk. Right, what's God's point there?
I know what you're doing.
Right, because this is what happens, right? Like, I tell everybody, not that everybody would listen, right, invest in blah, 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 blah. Everybody listens, and I make a killing, and then I pull out, right? And then when people come to me and they're like, why did you do, I had no idea, right? That's what I say. And the truth is, maybe there are people that do that like from a good place and just mess up. Often not. But, right, I can say this was coming from a good place. I thought we would all do well together. We didn't, right? So Ani Hashem says, you know what? The only person that knows what's really in your heart is God. So God says, Ani Hashem, I'm the one that's going to come after you because you do this. V'hatal re'acha kamocha, Ani Hashem. It's not the same message there, right? Love your man like love your fellow man like you love yourself, Ani Hashem. Why does God put his name there? So what God there is saying is, when you love your friend like you love yourself, what ends up happening is we build a community that I want to be a part of, Ani Hashem. So normally when God, and usually it's more the first, it's Ani Hashem, I'm going to come and like, you know, give you a smackdown if you don't do the right thing.
I mean, you could still do that. The second version is a nicer, like, I guess, approach to the same issues. Like the first one is with, what was the first example you had?
With Me'iver.
So also, Ani Hashem, I want to be, yeah, I'd like to be a part of the community that conforms to these kind of moral standards.
Right, but either way, I guess the point is that usually God puts it at the very end. Meaning God says, I'm giving you mitzvah A, do it, Ani Hashem. So either God's saying that as like chizuk, or God's saying, like, I'm telling you, like, if you don't, like, I'm going to punish you for it. But here, we don't know anything. So the first question is, usually, it's an ending. So why is it here that we start from it? So let's take a look at Rashi.
Why is it any different than that? So it's
a different one. Anochi Hashem Elokecha.
I mean, it's starting off. I'm giving you over a bunch of rules. What's the important rule? Me. Like, I'm not going ahead, but in the Pesach, hey, I guess it ends with it too.
Right. Because yeah. So I'm good with that. But again, it's much less common that way. Meaning, again, can you argue that this is a declaration that God is saying, I am? It makes a lot more sense by...
No, it's an existential lesson or a command or whatever, that this is what we're about.
Okay, so we'd have to try to understand why specifically here. So Rashi says like this, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Ani Shemarti B'Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So I am... the one that came at Sinai and said, I am God. Therefore, now I'm telling you that just like there, I said I was God. Now here, I want you to accept my laws. So Rabbi Omer, so Rabbi says that God knew that in the times of Ezra, this is the first mitzvah, so we're going to have after here, are the parsha of Arayos. So God knew that, like, the Jewish people would loosen up on Arayos. So God says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, tu'u mi gozer leichem, dayan li parav, edeman l'shalem schar. Understand that I am the one. I'm signing my name on this at the beginning and at the end, because I'm the one that punishes, and I'm the one that rewards. So that's Rashi. The Medrash in the Sifri, I couldn't find it online. See, he says two things. He says, number one is Ani Hashem. It's a reference to creation. God is saying, I'm the one that created the whole world. More than Anochi Hashem Elokecha, more than just the Aser HaSedivros, but God is saying, I am the one that created everything, and I want you to know that.
Every time it says Ani Hashem, that's what it's referencing? The Medrash
says, I don't know. I actually couldn't find this Medrash inside, so I it's just a quote from the Medrash in Rabbi Kanatapsky. But it could be that it's just specific to this pasuk. More likely that, because the other one, Ani Hashem, is the other possibility is Ani Hashem, I'm a Rachman. Right? God says I'm all merciful. So at the opening of this parsha, God says I'm merciful. So we have three possibilities. One is God is saying I am the one of Aseres Hadibros. I guess four possibilities. Another one is God is saying that I know that Arayos is something that's tough to deal with. So I'm telling you that, you know, I'm here and I'm going to be on top of that. And then it's possible that God is referencing Ani Hashem of creation. And the last possibility is God is the God of kindness. Those are all possibilities. The question is, how does that introduce this perek? Like, what does that have to do with anything? God's compassion, God's ability to create, God's being at Matan Torah. What does that have to do with this parsha? So now let's take a look at Pasuk Gimel. K'maasei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo tasu. God says, let's look back. The way it was in Egypt, I don't want you to live. I don't want you to act like that. U'k'maasei Eretz Kanan asher ani mevi etchem shama lo tasu. And the way you behaved in Eretz Canaan, I also don't want you to... the way that they behave, not you, because you haven't been there yet, but the way they behave in Eretz Canaan, that I'm taking you there, Shem lo tasu. Do not follow that. U'v'chukoteyem lo telechu. And don't follow in their ways. So Rashi tells us...
I mean, first of First of all, now you can see why I need Hashem Elokecha. Neither of these places worship God. They worship other gods.
Okay.
So he's differentiating.
So, all right, so which would work very well with Rashi of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Right, like Anochi Hashem Elokecha is a declaration that there is only one God, therefore it makes sense. You probably can make the same argument that the Medrash that says, the Pshat in the Medrash that it's based on creation would work also with that. You'd have a harder time with the Pshat in the Medrash that God is the God of kindness. Yeah. Like, what does that have to do with Mitzrayim? Especially, like, if you think about it, like, God came down in Egypt like a hammer, and then not that much better in Canaan, right? So, like, that, unless you're going to argue that the Rachman is there, is that God was the Rachman on the Jewish people.
And if you don't, then I'll count it.
Right, yeah. You can make that work. I don't know, it's not so neat, but it would be manageable. So Rashi says, "K'maseh Eretz Mitzrayim, magid shemaseim shel mitzvah shel Kananim mekulkalim mekol ha'umot." God wants us to know that the Egyptians and the Kananim were the worst of all the nations in terms of like morally depraved. V'oto makom sheyeshubo Yisrael mekulkal mekol. And on top of that, the Jews won the lottery because they lived in the most disgusting place of all of Egypt. Asher ani mevi etchem shama, magid shotam amamin shekavshu Yisrael mekulkalin yoter mekulam. And you should just know that the nations that you're going to conquer in Israel are even worse than the Egyptians. That's the land you're going into. Okay. And then we're told pasuk dalet mishpatai ta'asu, my laws you should do, bechukotai tishmeru, and my chukim you should protect. Lalechet b'hem ani Hashem Elokeichem, to keep them, to go in their ways, I am God. Ushmartem chukotai mishpatai asher yaseh otam adam v'chai b'hem ani Hashem, and you should be shomer my chukim, you should do my mishpatim, ani Hashem, I am God.
Yeah, that one is a complete repeat of the pasuk before.
Yeah, what's the only difference?
The order.
Right. On two levels, the order, right? In pasuk Dalid, it's
before mishpat, and mishmartim is before the word chok.
Right, so in Dalid, it's mishpat, then the verb, chok, then the other verb, and then in hey, it's...
Well, no, it splits.
It's verb.
So only chukim
is... Oh, you're right. Okay, you're right. The verbs, whatever. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, why do we need all that? So first off, why is it... And anyway, what's a mishpat, what's a chok, right? We don't have to, like, look in Rashi for that. What's a mishpat?
Statute.
Yeah, so like, what would be an example of a mishpat?
Don't kill.
Don't kill, right? Like we would call the best way to translate it would be like laws, right? So like those are laws like don't kill, don't steal. Probably like the arayos, all of those like the basics, the ones that you would sit there and say like we probably would have them no matter what, right?
They're the ones that make the community work. Many levels.
Right, and they're the ones that we don't need the Torah for, right? Like, even though these things happen, like, most people will admit, it's probably not a good idea to steal. That doesn't mean they won't steal, but there is, like, there's a certain bad feeling that comes with it. So those are mishpatim. What are chukim?
I think the only thing that makes the Jewish nation uniquely Jewish,
the chukim.
Yeah.
I
mean, just like, the chukim are the ones we don't understand.
Oh. Yeah, they're the ones that make no sense. They're the ones that you really struggle with when someone asks you about them.
Does it have to be that far? I mean, it's Shabbos. The Shabbos one you really struggle with? It's not one that you'd have otherwise.
Well, I think there are parts of Shabbos that make sense, right?
But it's Shabbos is one. It's not parts. Kashrus.
I think Shabbos has more like many mitzvos to it, but right, like I could understand, right? Like I could say, don't you feel like you can like explain to your neighbor or your co-worker who's not Jewish.
Is there a list between Mishpatim and Chukim? This is just theory, right?
What do you mean?
Is there an actual, do we know which ones are Mishpatim, which ones are Chukim, or there? This is a theoretical conversation.
I mean, I don't think it's a... Rashi quotes some examples, but I think that we could, like... Here, I don't know. Throw out a mitzvah and let's
Shabbos. Take...
Is there an... Are we comparing this to the actual official list, or there is no actual list?
We have 613 mitzvos. The 613 mitzvos are not counted exactly the same by all the mitzvah counters.
Yeah, aside from that.
Okay, but, like, let's assume that, like, more or less we have the same list.
575, everyone agrees, whatever.
Right. Okay, fine. So you take that list and you go through it, and you would see, like, I think there's a lot of...
The counters go through and divide them into
Chukim. I'm not sure. I'm not a... I was never like a Minchas Chinuch, Sefer HaChinuch person, so I'm not sure. But, like, I think in general there's like three categories of mitzvahs, because there is the third category, which are Eidos, right? Like, here would be an example of that would be like Pesach, right? Like, there's no, like, inherent logic to Pesach, right? Like, why do I have to eat a korban Pesach? Why do I have to do all, eat maror? Like, I don't know. But on the other hand, it's not like a mishpat, right? So is it a chok? Is it a mishpat? No, it's eidot, right? Like, why? It's a testimony to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we, sukkis, same thing. Like, again, I think those are, like, one category. Then we enter into the chukim. I think chukim...
But Eidos are not written down in this list of... There's no list of three types. There's only two types.
Right, but there's other places where we have, like, Eidos mentioned. What would be very interesting to check, and I have no idea, would be to look through the rest of Acharei Moshe after this point and Kedoshim and see, are there... You have Emor in there. So Emor is going to have the Mo'adim. But it would be interesting to see, like in Baharim B'chukosai, if you have anything that would be like one of like those kinds of mitzvos. I think Shabbos on some level might be that, right? Like it's testimony to God creating the world. It's a good question. So the question is, there's a lot of questions on these two psukim. The first question is Srili's question. Like, why are you telling me Dalit and then you tell me Hey? Like, I don't need both. Okay, so that's one. The other question that I think we have to deal with is why are Mishpatim Asah and why are Chukim Shamar? Now, if it was only one time, I could say, like, you know, it's like, okay. Maybe there is maybe like you just need, like, you can't use the same word twice in one sentence, right? Like, that's like the rules of, like, you know, your paper writing back in, like, whatever. So God wanted, and God, the Torah has like a style to it also.
Are chukim mostly lotuses?
A chukim lotuses?
It's more of a...
Paraduma.
Paraduma is the... Okay, that one's a tough one. Because there are mitzvahs around the paraduma.
Are you checking the rest of Achremos Kedoshim?
No, I'm checking it.
Trouble. Well, I would say though that the shomer is being used for chukim because they don't necessarily make sense.
You know, okay,
they're the ones that are easiest to get rid of when you're trying to explain it. Well, if I don't understand that, I'm not going to do it.
I mean, I don't understand certainly why you wouldn't necessarily need, so to speak, both psukim. I'm not even sure why you need either of them. Like, what aside from the words of Chaibad, which he reams himself out of. Why is it necessary to say either of this? This out of nowhere, like in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it is not the rest of the Torah, you know.
If you only had Aleph. If you only had Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, what would your message be?
It's a message. I mean, don't do like the other nations. We've got precious of stuff. That you have to do. Has anyone thought, oh, maybe I don't have to do them, or I shouldn't do them?
Dalit and Hey, right. All the mitzvahs are the explanation.
Do all this, or don't do all this.
Hey.
And okay, yeah,
do you do a low passe? Sure, is that like? Do you do a low passe?
Well, no.
No, you
don't do.
Right, so how do you ta'asu my mishpatai? If it's don't kill, how do I do it?
No, because mishpatim are both, meaning like.
Now they're both? No, okay.
I mean, like,
Shvatim could be both, but
right, like,
I'm asking,
Kukim, are they exclusively lotase?
I don't know.
Oh, we were trying to say.
Paraduma is fine, done.
Paraduma is an ase.
Oh, but then the next pasuk
would be the exception to the chuk. That would be the chuk that we come up on the list.
Uh-huh.
That's an ase. Right. All the other ones that we mentioned were lotase.
But we don't have a list, so.
I mean, Rashi.
Actually, Sean is, you know, it's for most people, it's don't do it. But the Kohen Gadol had Shatnez as part of his Begadim. So there's a conflict, you know, when you're.
But the mitzvah was not, you know, make sure you're a Shatnez. It's just, this is. And we say, oh, okay, that's an exception to the rule. I don't think it's an asay to wear Shatnez.
Well, it's not. It was, but it's
and
not.
It wasn't a chok that he wore Shatnez.
It wasn't either. It was just.
Shatnez
is a chok for you not to wear. It's not a chok for him to wear.
Yeah, it's a good question.
But it's an assay for him to specifically wear wool and a garment made with wool and linen together. So it's not saying it's
notable.
A para aduma probably is an assay.
Right.
That would be my guess. I don't know. If there was a sefer achimuch here.
And also,
we had a big fight a couple of years ago about like one of the mitzvos in Achremos Kedoshim. I remember like I spent like a big chunk of Shabbos like trying to figure out what it was, a mitzvah's assay, a mitzvah's los assay. I can't find
also, it. When someone dies in between two cities,
can you check there if they have Parshas Chukas?
But that's an assay.
Isn't that a chok?
It's not?
Which one?
No, it's not a chok. They explain. The reason why you could go do it at La Rufa is because you're the city that's closest to the base. You had a responsibility. You didn't escort them properly out. That's not a chok. They gave a whole bunch of reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I think David's point is a fair one. If we had a list that we could look at, then we could like have a much easier time let's categorically look at that. But I would think that paraduma is an assay.
Yeah.
Well, clearly it's not.
Make a paraduma. Right. Right. I don't know. I can't.
Well, is paraduma on the chok list?
It's the paradigm of chukim. And he even listed there, although it's the last one. It's Rashi says, Achilas Chazir Levisha Chatnez V'Taharat Mechatat. Thank you.
It's not the right page, but
we're in the, okay. Achremos. 1 second. No, so we would need Chukas. Yeah. It's gonna be the missing volume, for sure. Yeah, the person was really good. They left us the Sefer HaChinuch volume for Achremos Kedoshim.
That's where it ends, and these last two are don't seem to go.
All right.
So these verbs are do and guard.
Do and guard.
It's like Shabbos is Shamar and Zohar.
Right, so that you're asking why it is.
I don't know. I just thought there may not be a parallel between
the
two.
No, that's.
But that could work because there's two. But there, maybe you could argue that there's two components to Shabbos. There's the chok. There's the chok and the eidos. What would you do with an eidos? And like something, if it's testimony, then it would be zachor. Yeah, I mean, like if it's that's the whole nature of testimony is that you have to remember it. If you don't remember it, then like the whole. Meaning, like if you ate the korban Pesach and you were thinking like, gee, I'm doing, and not the korban. If you had the seder and were like, gee, I think this is all about matan Torah. Right? Like,
before,
you'd, like, totally miss it.
Shamor all the lotases, and Zohar all the ases.
And you have to line them all up.
I'll just remember.
What did you say about Amalek? The two parts of Parshas Zohar are remembering is verbal and not forgetting. I forget. Someone gave this part to right recently. Wasn't you? Somebody very recently went down this the difference between remember and versus don't forget.
Yeah, look at Shabbos.
Right, one is verbal, and one, what was the other one? I don't know, but it's something like this. So now you're saying Zohar for Shabbos is what?
I'm saying it could be that the Zohar is like to remember like the components of it that are eidos.
The positive commandments of
Shabbos. Yeah, so you're saying Shabbos is the...
Okay.
Big chart.
So, All right, so those are our three questions. How does the Ani Hashem, how does that introduce our perek? Why do we use Aseh and Shamar as categories of the mitzvos? And why the repetition, but out of order in Dalet and Hay? So Rabbi Kanetovsky offers the following suggestion. He says that this is an intro to all the mitzvos of Kedoshim. And when we keep the mitzvos, it makes us free. Right? Who are we free from? So God is saying, where did you start? You started in Egypt. And you're going to Canaan. Now, in both cases, right, like you're leaving Mitzrayim. And when you leave Mitzrayim, you're leaving there from a place of like, you're on some level indebted to them. And then you're going to Canaan and you're going to win. So they'll be subservient to you. So he says that anytime there's the interface between two peoples, it leads to an exchange of ideas. And those exchange of ideas are either because you're the loser and then the victor imposes their will on you. So that would be like the Jewish people vis-a-vis Egypt, right? They had like suffered at their hands. Anything that they took culturally from Egypt would be something that was like, that probably had been imposed upon them for years and years and years and then just stuck. And alternatively, sometimes you beat another country and those people, they present you as a gift with some of their culture and tradition. That you don't take it in that respect from like a indebted place, but you become indebted as a result. God says, in order for you to be free, for real, I need you to make a break from the ideas that you came from and that the ideas that you're going to. And God says, you went from one of the most awful, immoral countries, and you're going to an even more immoral place. So I need you to let go and not accept anything from them. So that's the middle. K'masei aretz mitzayim asher yishavtem ba lo tasu. K'masei aretz genan asher ani mevi etchem sham lo tasu chukotem lo telechu. God says, I'm asking you, don't take from Egypt, don't take from Canaan. So what do I need you to take then? To truly be free, I need you to take my ideas. I'm going to present you with my ideas, my chukim, right? Uvchukutem lo telechu, at the end of Pasuk Gimel. You're taking my chukim and my mishpatim, and those are the ones that are going to make you free. Okay? God is hoping that the Jews will embrace his ideas. Now, let's take a look at the Rambam, because the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah is actually going to offer us a little bit of an explanation of the difference between Asei and Shamar in terms of Mishpatim and Chukim. So he says like this, Ra'ui la'dam li'tbonein b'mishpatei ha'Torah ha'kedosha v'leida sofen yanam kefi kocho. So the Rambam says it's really important that you should try very hard to learn not surface level, but you should like kind of like understand the depths of the Torah and to really understand what it's all about. If you don't know the reason behind something, it should not be something that you like brush aside. You shouldn't try to go up in a tent and destroy God because it's going to destroy you. And when you approach the Torah, and this is something that you have to be really careful with, is that you have to realize that it's not just another subject, but it's the Torah HaKadosha. Look how careful God, the Torah is in the halachos of Me'ilah. Me'ilah is the halachos of stealing or misappropriating from the Beis HaMikdash. Right, you have wood, you have stones, you have dirt, you have dust. God's name has been put on it, but just in words, in kachu, they become holy. And if you act with them in a way that's chulin, So you were moel, you stole from God. Vafilu haya shogeg, even if it was done by accident, tzarech kapara. Kal v'chomer l'mitza shechakak lanu ha-kadosh baruch hu shelo yivata adam behem mipnei shelo yadat aman. Certainly, a mitzvah that God did not give us the reason, but God engraved upon us, you can't kick it just because you don't get it. And you can't have these like big questions on them. Our pasuk. So Amru Chachamim liten shmira v'asiya l'chukim k'mishpatim. So the Rambam says the following. He says that shmira and asiya have to be by both chukim like mishpatim. Vasiya yedua vihi sheyasa chukim ashmira sheyizaher behem lo yidmashem bechutin mina mishpatim. Then he says like this, and doing it, vasiya yedua vihi sheyasa chukim. It's obvious that you have to do the chukim, right? Nobody's gonna question. Meaning, like, if you accept that the mitzvos are from God, then you're gonna do all of them, right? So even though the chukim, you're like, why am I doing shatnez, right? Like, I buy a suit. I don't know about you, but if you ever like, you know, when you go buy this, if you buy a suit and then like you're in like one of these non-Jewish stores and you have to go through like the whole shatnez thing with them, I'm gonna take the thing, I'm gonna bring it back, you know, whatever. And it's like such a, they're used to it usually, right? They're like, aren't crazy Jews, but like it's like a, you sit there like, why? Like, who cares, right? But the Rambam is saying, no, you can't say that. God has a reason for it. So he says, but we're not on that level. We all do it, right? None of us sit there like, yep, I pay my $15, I take care of my suit, and that's it. But he says, it's not a question on asiya, but amru chachamim letin shmira v'asiya, I'm sorry, v'ashmira shizaher behen. The important thing is that you have to guard it. You can't sit there and say it's less valuable than the mishpatim. And then he says the opposite is true. The mishpatim hein mitzvah shetama galui v'tovat asiyatam ba'olam hazeh yadua k'gon iser gezel shvichas dam mechira v'aim. And he says that the mishpatim are the ones that, yeah, you know about them. They're commonplace. And you have to do them. But here's the interesting thing. That what's easier to do, a chok or one of the mishpatim? Is it really?
Depends on the...
But I mean, like, we... Like, think about it. Like, as from Jews, like, we keep kosher. It doesn't make any sense. You go to Stop and Shop, right? Or any of the other stores, right? You go to you go somewhere other than Gourmet Glot. And, you know, like, they have, like, you can buy the kosher chicken for, like, a ridiculous amount of money. And then right next to it, right, you have, like, this size of, like, two pieces of chicken for $10. And then you have the family pack for, like, $6. And you just sit there, you're like, I don't know, right? But what do? We buy it. Right? Most of us, I don't think too many of us sit there and question it.
But it's a sacrifice.
It's true. You get text it to Henry.
No, if I can.
Right, but then like you, yeah, like Shiloh, also, like, I mean, there are people that, like, go out of their way to find the Shiloh HaKan, right?
But we're coming from it, we grew up with this.
Right, but my...
Most of us, right? We grew up with it. How difficult is it to stick with something that you've done from day one?
So can I ask you a question?
As opposed to things that just seem more...
100%.
Not everyone.
Right, but watch this. If I keep kosher, right, I... Proudly, right? I pay my extra money for my kosher food. I never like question it, right? Like you just keep, especially Pesach time, when you just keep swiping, right? And you're like, fine, okay. Your kosher food bill was like four times what it should be in a month. And then if you're to compare it to like your neighbor at Christmas time, it'd be like, right? Fine. But we do it, and we do it like easily. How easy is it not to speak Lashon Hara? And I don't think that's the only mishpat. Right? How easy is it to be completely ethical in business practice? So Rabbi, that's, I think, where Rabbi Kanatovsky takes the Rambam. We won't read the rest of the Rambam inside because I think it's like, it's a little lengthy. But his point is, the Rambam's point is, what is asah? It's to perform. What is shamar? It's to hold in high esteem. Rabbi Kanatovsky says so beautifully. He says, it's a challenge. This whole thing. You know why the Torah starts off, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, as the introduction? God is saying, I want you to know this is going to be a really hard one. Because you have a choice that you could be like Mitzrayim, you could be like Canaan, or you could be uplifted. And God says, I want you to be uplifted. But when you're uplifted, this is what I want you to know. I want you to know that there's two types of mitzvos. You're going to deal with mishpatim, and you're going to deal with chukim. And your challenge when it comes with chukim is not to do them. We're so good at it. We know you stay away from certain suits. They might be the nicest suits in the world, but you can't wear them because they're always shotness. So you don't buy them. We don't second guess it for a second. Asah, we do it perfectly. And then it comes to the mishpatim, like the day-to-day laws, and that's where we struggle. Like, really? Like, does it really matter? Do I have to do it exactly like that? And yet, the irony is that's when you look at it from the perspective of asah. But when you look at it from the perspective of shamar, to hold in high esteem, nobody would ever doubt that not speaking lashon hara is an unbelievable thing. Being 100% ethical is an amazing thing. Being completely, good vis-a-vis arayos is a great thing. We hold those in high esteem. But the challenge is doing them. And when it comes to chukim, it's the exact opposite. We have no problem doing them. But we said that, like, why do I do this? Why parat duma? Why kashrus? Why shatnez? That says, Rabbi Kanatovsky, is the message of these psukim. But then he says, why is it this might be the reason why Dalet and Hey are both said twice, and why it's back to back, and why it's reversed, is because the key to understanding this is to understand it's all one. You can't sit there and say, and maybe that's why there's no list. You can't sit there and say, I've got my chukim and I've got my mishpatim. You have to say, I have my Torah. It's all one unit. And that's why the mitzvot are woven together. And that's, he says, and it was the most comforting thought. Because if you read Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim, really more Kedoshim, you would think that it's like someone just threw up 40 laws. Right? They were all thrown up in the air, they landed, and that's how it is. Try to figure out a theme of Parshas Kedoshim. And try to figure out a theme for Parshas Kitetze. It's like it's partner in crime. There's no theme. It's like all over there. It almost seems like stream of consciousness. And Rabbi Kanatovsky says something that's amazing. He says that the reason for that is because it's not supposed to be categories. But it's supposed to be the interwoven nature of the Torah is that all of it plays together. Yeah, you look like you're not happy.
So it's very nice. No, seriously, it's nice. Well, why wouldn't it then say es mitzvot hai ta'asu v'tishmeru?
It's so that's what it does in the second in hey.
No,
it
says again mishpatim and chukim.
But it's combining them. What? It's not actually saying it in reverse. It looks like it's saying it in reverse, but it's not.
You're making another point of God, but you're not answering my point.
You're saying that there's no word mitzvos there.
Why not use mitzvos? So, Rabbi Kanatovsky's point, and you're explaining very nicely, is the tasu and the tishmeru, and reversing them. They both go to both. And that makes perfect sense. And
but you're saying get rid of the titles and just make them into one.
Groupings and have us debate whether call them your mitzvot, it's all encompassing, and you have to do them, and you have to guard them. I just like that better. But it's not how it's written, so I'm sure there's a reason for it.
It's a great question. I have no idea.
Now, what's your...
I hear it. No, I hear it. We were looking at Pasuk Hey as if it's reversing it. While it is reversing it, it's really combining the two. It's not a sign of shmartim.
Because chukim and mishpatim are now next to each other.
Yeah, that's why I went to look at the truck. There's no, it's not like there's a pause between it. It's one.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, it's together.
I hear. Good point. Good question. So he ends off by saying the following. He says, if you look at chukim in general, chukim tend to be mitzvos bein adam lamakom. And mishpatim are usually bein, are often, not usually, but are often bein adam lachavero. David, you now have, you have a job. Okay, write a book.
Well, that's easy. That's in the Sipratan.
What?
He says, if it's been
Adam, Malcolm.
Okay, right. But he wants, David wants a. It could be that it could be it exists out there. You can.
It's all there.
It's all in Zimrachan.
Okay. Listen, David, there's Mishnah Yomi, there's Daf Yomi, you're going to start Mitzvah Yomi. And in 613 days, yeah, you'll be like, I got it. I've got my list. And I know that you're like, your brain is perfectly wired to do that. Okay. So chukim are usually bin adam l'makom, mishpatim are often bin adam l'chaveiro. And he says that reflects back to the original medrash. Because the original medrash says ani Hashem and offers two possibilities. It's ani Hashem of creation or ani Hashem of rachum. So he says ani Hashem of creation, what's that? That's bin adam l'makom. That's the idea that there's this all-powerful God and the sanctity of creation. So the chukim. But the idea of rachum, that God is merciful, that's often reflected in the mishpatim, the kindness of Hashem. Right? The way that God requests and wants and bestows order between people. So what he does, Rabbi Kanatapsky then says, that perhaps is how you're supposed to understand these psukim. It starts off with the introduction of God is saying, I want to introduce my entire theme for the Torah. And that is the idea of Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the fact that I exist and I created harmony in the world. And the other is the fact that I created compassion and mitzvos that nurture and take care of all the people. In light of that introduction, I must tell you, God says, Egypt and Canaan, those are like, that's your role model from where you came, and that's where you're going, like they do not match up with what we're discussing. And then God says, and I'm giving you these mitzvos, and these mitzvos reflect both the idea of creation and both the idea of kindness, and that's fine. But I want you to understand there's a synthesis between them. And I think that that's really important because we often find that like we find communities that are either really good at one or really good at the other. What God is saying is, I really need you to do both. Right? But the success of the Jewish people and the unity of the Torah is based on both components working in concert with each other, not attempting to have one without the other.